Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
No height or depth can separate. You said that's love, who can escape? Your faithfulness and endless sea, so full of grace and mercy.
Oh, and God. are so good. What can be just a children's chorus we learned years ago. What a great reminder. Your grace, your mercy is new every morning. Hope rises like the sun every day. You are so, so good to us. Father, would you be good enough to speak to us from your word? It's truth. We ask that the Holy Spirit move in our hearts, make us more like you when we leave here than when we got here. God, we celebrate you as we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated if you will. Take your Bible. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is week 2 of our series entitled To Do. We spent the first week summarizing the first 3 chapters of 1 Thessalonians. Now to get to the theological meat, chapters 4 and chapters 5, where we'll spend our time for the next several weeks. And let me start by asking you a question as you turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. What's the first thing you think of each morning? For some, it's, oh, it's another day. For others, it's, oh, it's another day. There's a difference, and you know which you are and which it is. If you have young kids and you slept all night really well and you wake up to hearing nothing, you think, why is it so quiet? What's wrong? Something happens to be wrong. You might any number of things that you could think of first thing, but I want to tell you that the best thought for your first thought each day should be a question. And the question is this: how can I please God today? How can I please God today? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, Paul says this, finally then, brothers, and when he uses the word finally, let me explain this. That does not always mean that this is like the very last thing he's going to say. Finally, you'll notice it in Paul's writings, is often used to say that I am now changing the subject. He says, finally, and now I'm going to get to something different that I want you to pay attention to. So he's been sharing these thoughts with them for 3 chapters, and now he says, finally, brothers. It would have been a notice for all of them to lean in, to listen. He says this, we ask and we urge you in the Lord Jesus that you, as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you were doing, that you do so more and more. Verse 2, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you should know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us to impurity, but to holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. This is an incredible beginning passage here, and it talks about sanctification. It talks about living in purity. Look again at verse 1 and 2. Finally then, brothers, we ask and we urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God. The number one item on your daily to-do list should simply be please God. If we can have a motive to please God daily, to wake up and say, God, how can I please you at work today? God, how can I please you at school today? God, how can I please you with my family today? God, how can I please you in every aspect of my life today? Number one on your to-do to please God. If our motive is to please God, then what should be our method of doing so? Well, the scripture reveals to us that really it's about attitude, it's about how we walk, and it's about how we live. And so if you look at this passage alone, he says in verse 1 that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. So the idea is this, before you can live it, you have to receive it. And so Paul shared it with them and they received it. Before you and I can live it, we have to receive it. And in order to receive it, we have to know it. And in order to know it, we must hear it. And so if Paul had not instructed them how to walk in their faith, they would not have done it. But Understand this. These people come from a very strong pagan society. Their lives in the Thessalonica church, all of the Thessalonica people, they were steeped in sexual immorality. Their entire existence had been set up to please themselves, not God. So Paul instructed them on how to live and how to please God. Now for us, we don't have Paul in the flesh writing us a personal letter today, but we have something better. What Paul gave them as instructions, we have now as just part of the overall scriptures. And God has completed the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He has given it to us. And when we receive it, we have even so much more than what Paul offered them. Think about the Bible for a moment. It was written by over 40 different authors. And it was written over three different languages over the course of 1,500 years, yet every word threads together because it was God who inspired all of it. So he gives us this incredible truth. So your transformation, my transformation, our transformation, our sanctification starts with the Word of God. So let me ask you a question, not to answer out loud, but just to answer in your mind. Do you want to walk in Christ? And if the answer is a loud yes, then let me ask you, do you want to walk in his new life? And if the answer is a loud yes, before you answer, let me really see what's happening in your life and in my life. And I'll ask that with another question. Have we spent consistent time in God's word this past week? Now, in my own life, there are times that I can find an excuse to not dig deep into the Word of God. And the reality is, if you don't receive it, you will not know it. If you don't know it, you will not live it. And we will not be transformed. So whatever we do, we must not give some pitiful excuse about why we weren't in God's Word, because the truth is we all have time to be in His Word. I'll be honest, if I confess about my own life, I may be a busy person and have plenty of things to do from early in the morning till late at night, but here's the reality. I always find just a few minutes to scroll through Facebook, take my thumb and scroll right through there. I always have time for just a little bit of news and certain websites I'll go to see what's going on. I always have time for just a couple of minutes of my hobby. Mine are always Christmas related. I might be looking at videos about something for this or that and all those. By the way, it's only 103 days till Christmas. There you go, your PSA for the day. I always have time for part of a podcast or day or two as I'm walking or driving or different things. So what I have to ask in my own life is this, and I'm being serious when I say it. Do I want to walk in Facebook or do I want to walk in Christ? Do I want to walk in the ways of Fox News or do I want to walk in the ways of Jesus? So it seems crazy that I would find a little bit of time for that, but sometimes neglect my time with the Lord. I want to own my decision that says I want to really believe what it says in verse 1, that we receive it and we do so more and more. I want a passion for His Word. I want to spend time in His Word daily. And if I really want to put on my to-do list to please God, it must start with taking in His Word. Look at verses 3-5. It says this, "For this is the will of God." That's a pretty bold statement. "For this is the will of God." So what is the will of God for you and for me? Look at the next words. Your sanctification. This is the will of God for you. If you've ever been trying to figure out, what does God want me to do for a career? What does God want me to do for a job? Am I supposed to change this or do that? Or does He want me to do this? Does He want me to purchase this or that? I don't know the answer to all those questions, but here's one thing I do know. When you say, I want to know God's specific will, right here it says, this is the will of God, your sanctification. He goes on to say that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and in honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. So what does that mean? God's will for you and for me is sanctification. Well, what is sanctification? Here's the best definition and the simplest definition of sanctification that I can give you. Sanctification means to be set apart by God for God. Say it again. Don't overcomplicate it. Sanctification means to be set apart by God for God. The word sanctify and the word holy come from the same root word. So their message can go together. That idea of being holy, of being set apart, it's a similar idea to being sanctified to for God and by God. 1 Corinthians and Hebrews both tell us that when you were saved, when you gave your life to Jesus, when he brought you salvation, at that moment you were sanctified. That's called positional sanctification. You didn't earn it, so you won't lose it. If you think you can lose your sanctification and lose your salvation, you have mistaken how you gained it to start with. It's the free gift of God. It is his grace and mercy. So you have positional sanctification. You've been positionally made holy. But then the scripture also tells us in another place in Thessalonians and in the book of Acts and some other places that there will be a day when Jesus returns, or a day when you die and go to heaven, that you will have what's called permanent sanctification. It's when Christ returns. It's the ultimate or complete act of holiness and sanctification for us as created humans. So you have positional sanctification when you were born. You have permanent sanctification coming someday. But in the middle of that, while you're living your life on this earth, we have practical sanctification to work toward. That means to grow into and live out the will of God in our lives on this earth. The scriptures describe it multiple ways. Peter calls it growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's sanctification. John describes it as he says we're sanctified through applying the truth of God's word. The more we apply God's word, the more we're sanctified. Paul explains it multiple ways in different books of the Bible that he wrote. But in this letter, in 1 Thessalonians, he says this. Don't miss it. Paul says your sanctification is linked to sexual purity. Why? Why is he focusing on this? Well, it's because the people in Thessalonica had worshiped false gods in such a big way, even just a few months before Paul wrote this letter, because they were new believers, remember? So they had encountered temple prostitutes every single day of their lives growing up. They had seen a very promiscuous society where everyone lived to please themselves in all ways. So you can imagine, with that being your life, it was important that Paul helped them realize that if you really want to be sanctified and set apart, you've got to deal with issues of purity in your life. These people have been immersed in an anything goes, Las Vegas looks like Disney World compared to us kind of society. And so that's what they knew. And Paul says, abstain from sexual immorality. He goes on to say, learn how to control your own body. And then he says, do not be led by the passions of lust. Now, the word for sexual immorality here is important. This word is really a general term. It's not referring to any one particular thing. It's an overarching term that can mean a number of things. It can be referring to adultery. It can be referring to lusts. It can refer to sex outside of the bonds of marriage. It can refer to homosexuality. The Greek word that this word sexual immorality comes from, we get in our English language the word pornography from it. So it's an idea of what happens in our mind and in our hearts and sometimes physically in our bodies. It's all together. It's all of this view of purity and immorality. And so I want to take just a moment. It's a hard subject, but I want to say it today to this room full of people, to anyone participating online, and to those who are listening on the radio, that this is important. Your sanctification, you being set apart by God for God, you living and walking in the power and holiness of God, is affected by your sexual purity. It just is. If we really want to deal with that, we have to make a decision to take action to deal with it. Listen, I would say this to every person in this room, in a room this size, this many people, and you add in the people of the first service. If we have 300 people or so here today and a bunch more watching at home, here's what I would say to you. Please understand that in a room this size, there are men who are struggling in a huge way with lust or pornography. Statistics would just show it. And I would say to you, by the grace of God, men, you can be sanctified. By the grace of God, you can walk in purity. By the grace of God, you can learn to redirect your passions to godly things. Men, not just men, women too, but in general, it'll be mostly men what I'm going to refer to next. If you find yourself struggling with purity, you find yourself struggling with pornography, Listen, it was going to be a difficult thing for you to meet me here at the altar in a moment, okay? I get that. So I have something I want to ask you to do. If you say, Chris, I want to walk, I want to be sanctified. I want to walk new and clean. I'm tired of falling back into the same old trap time and time and time again. I have a resource for you, a book I'd like to give you. And then I'll also tell you, if you need it, there's a support group that meets weekly in our facility. I'm not going to tell you what day or time they meet right now so that everyone wouldn't necessarily know that, but you can contact me and I'll get you that. It's private. And you can come and you can meet with this group, pray together, encourage one another. You can be a part of that. But there's a book I would love to give you as a resource. If you're listening on the radio and you just changed the dial and you're looking for country music on that country, wonderful country music station that we get to be on, and you're looking for something different, but you've heard me talk about sexual purity and you're struggling in some way, I don't believe in coincidence. So I want to encourage you right now to stop. Pull over on the side of the road and text this number. Here's how we'll do it. If you're in this room and you want to wait, just remember this. It'll be simple to remember. It's our same text number we use always, 256-322-6100. If you text the word HOPE to that number, no one else on our staff is going to see that. It's going to be a thread that goes directly to me by texting the word HOPE to that number. And what I'm going to do is I'll contact with you, get you some information, and I have a book for you. We'll discreetly get to you. I want to help you, want to pray for you, want to encourage you. And if you need help with a group, listen, I want to encourage that as well. Text the word HOPE, H-O-P-E, to 256-322-6100. Men, women, teenagers, hear me say this. If you really want to walk in holiness, we all need help. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need godly believers to encourage us and hold us accountable. It's not just about sexual purity. Can I tell you this? In my own life, if I'm ever dealing with issues of purity or anger or apathy or worry, frustration, I could make a long list of things. I'm so thankful that I have a group of men that I meet with every week. We meet every week. Myself and these three other men, that we encourage one another, we pray for one another, and we'll hold each other accountable if we need to be held accountable. I know I can share with them a need or a struggle that I might have in any way, and these are going to be men who are going to pray for me and encourage me. And maybe, you know, they're going to hold my feet to the fire in some ways, and I'll do the same for them. Friends, I got to say to you, if you do not have someone to journey life with for accountability and encouragement, you need to find someone. In fact, I would go so far as to say, I believe it's impossible to live a sanctified life alone. That the scripture shows us over and over how we should live life together, one another, in the one another verses. We need someone to pray with us. We need someone to help us and encourage us. We need someone that will be there in our corner as the Holy Spirit's doing work in our lives, that will pushing us toward the Holy Spirit, toward what God is trying to do. So men, find you some friends to be accountable and encouragement with. Ladies, find you some friends to do that with. People that will point you to Jesus. Not people that are going to point you to the ways of Oprah. Listen, we got enough of that. People who will point you to Jesus. People who will point you to God's word. People who will take out a sword of the word of God. And when it says iron sharpens iron, here's what I've learned with the guys that I have accountability with and a couple of other guys that just individual friends that have been lifelong friends that we'll pray for and encourage one another. Can I tell you that if you're not careful, if you get close enough to someone to sharpen iron with them, you're close enough to cut them. So you've got to be careful in how that happens and what you do. And you have to rely on truth of God's word. And no easy excuses says, well, you'll do better next time. No, speak the truth. Come full of grace and full of truth and help them as God seeks to do that in their life and in yours. So I would encourage you in just the same way. Maybe your issue has nothing to do with sexual purity. Maybe you just struggle in other ways. Well, verse 4 is for you. Let me read it to you. It says this, that each of you should know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. Holy Spirit empowered self-control is what it's describing here. Some of us, many of us, struggle in areas of self-control. Some of us, it's more obvious than others. You can tell my areas of self-control problems because I stress eat. If I get stressed or anxious or worried, I will stress eat. It has been my self-medication for years. And you've watched me for 10 years as your pastor. I think I've lost about 850 pounds in 10 years, Don. Not all at once, but over the course of, and I'll do really well for a while, and then I'll find myself struggling again. And boil it down to what you want to, but here's what I will tell you. It's self-medication, and the Holy Spirit's not involved in that. And so the truth is, maybe for you, you've got some other area you struggle in. Maybe yours is not noticeable. Maybe yours is just in your mind, in your heart, and nobody else sees it. It doesn't make yours just as big a problem just because you can see mine. And so what I would encourage you to do is to stop and realize when the scripture says each of us should know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, if we have something that we're struggling with, we need to realize that self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and gentleness. Self-control is not pull yourself up by the bootstraps and try a little harder. It is the Holy Spirit doing a work in you, but you have a part to play because the fruit of the Spirit is fleshed out by our will and actions. Think about that. God supernaturally gives you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control, but you will not live a one of those out if you don't have a will and a flesh that desires to live it out. It'll sound good on paper and in a song, but you won't live it out. And so I want to encourage you to realize you have a part to play in partnership with the Holy Spirit when it comes to living a life of self-control. And the best way I can tell you to do that is to, one, find some people to pray for you and encourage you, and to, second, make a decision to take the next wise step in front of you, whatever it happens to be. As the Holy Spirit does a work in your life and you lean into God and you're growing more in His Word and you find yourself struggling with something, make the next wise choice. One step at a time. Start fresh today. Some of you, maybe you're not struggling with self-control, but oh, you've got a spouse or a friend or a child that does, and you want to pray for them today. I would encourage you, pray that they will make the next wise choice in front of them. Now, remember what I said earlier. Peter describes sanctification as growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. John describes sanctification as applying the truth of God's word. Paul describes sanctification multiple ways, but here with dealing with sexual purity. But here's what's interesting. If you look at how Jesus describes sanctification, he mentions it and the idea of it a few different places. But the theme that seems to show up is this, is that Jesus connects sanctification with being sent. Jesus connects being sanctified with being sent. You'll see it multiple places when you start looking. John chapter 17, verse 17 is a great example. It says this, Jesus is praying for you. He's prayed for the disciples, now he's praying for you. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me, God the Father, into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they may also be sanctified in truth. It's just interesting to me. Jesus wants you sanctified because he knows you were sent. And if God is sending you to live on mission for him in your house, in your neighborhood, at your workplace, at your school, at your job, whatever the case may be, as he's sending you to live for him, he realizes that there's no chance that you and I will do that if we are not sanctified. Him sending us into the world for us to live like the world is ridiculous. That's not what he said. Him sending us into the world that we might be sanctified and set apart by God for God so we can live for him. That is why we were sent. Friends, I got to be honest. Every day you live sent, you are sent somewhere. But if you're just living like the world everywhere you go and you're just living like everybody else everywhere you go, you might as well have stayed home. In fact, it would have been better. But you can't, because life is about being sent. And so please understand, if we're not set apart, if we're not being practically sanctified, growing in that, we will give a false picture of what Jesus looks like. And oh, you've seen it. When you look at a false picture of Jesus, it bugs you, doesn't it? You're not drawn to it at all. But oh, the real thing, the one that walks full of grace and truth. Oh, the real thing, the one that is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, the real thing, the one that shows us how we cannot be haunted by our past no more, as the song we just sang says. One that can help us stop and realize what it means to walk and live in him. There's a difference. And so, friends, Jesus says, you need to be sanctified because you've been sent. And so he helps us to understand that. Now, if you read all of John 17, we don't have time. If you read all of it, you'll see that Jesus realizes and says the world's going to be rough. But he doesn't pray that you will be out of the world. He knows that people are not going to believe that he's the Son of God unless they see us loving each other. So he prays for that. He knows that the answers to our problems are found in God's word. So he prays that we would be sanctified by the truth of God's word. He knows our power to live the gospel comes through the Holy Spirit. So he prays for the Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives. He prays for you and me to be sanctified because we have surely been sent. So here's my question to wrap things up for you today. What is at the top of your to-do list? Going back to 1 Thessalonians 4:1, is the top of your to-do list to please God? Oh, I hope it is. I want mine to be. I want it to be. But if it is, we have to understand that if we're praying that our to-do list would be to please God, we have to start by receiving power through his word. Power, knowledge, and truth through his word. It's what we see there in 1 Thessalonians, what we see over and over in the scripture. So if we really want to be committed to walk sanctified, to please God in all things, we start with God's word. I would encourage you early in the morning to be in God's word. Say, Chris, I just have too much going on to do that. Listen, get up 5 minutes earlier, start early, do what it takes, but be in the Lord's word. Find a way. Receive his word regularly. And then as it says in 1 Thessalonians 1, build on that practically more and more. Remember, you were sanctified. You will be ultimately sanctified. You are now being sanctified every single day through our actions, through our obedience, through taking in God's word. Build on that more and more. And then specifically, as Paul says, walk in purity. And if you really want to walk in purity, you probably need some help. So find some help, someone to pray with you. I would love to pray with you and encourage you at any point. Find some help. And then for all of us in general, when it comes to controlling our own bodies and walking sanctified in our hearts, minds, and our souls, we need to recruit some friends to help us be holy. Find someone to pray for you and encourage you. And then to live sent. And if you commit to live sent, you will need all of the Holy Spirit you can get. And so will I. So will you make a commitment to please God today? I want to. I hope you do as well. Would you pray with me? With your heads bowed, what about you? Is your goal to please God? If it's not, Ben, you may want to make you a real to-do list when you get home today and put at the very top of it, my daily to-do list to please God, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. If that's you, though, and that is your desire, and you want to wake up thinking, God, how can I please you today at work? How can I please you today at home? How can I please you in my interaction with my family? How can I please you out in the community? Please know that the key starts with receiving his truth in his word, allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work of regeneration in you on a daily basis, and to do so more and more. Here's what I've learned in my own life. The way I give the Holy Spirit more control of my life is when I take the next wise step in front of me, it's an invitation for the Holy Spirit to move in my life. Maybe for some of us in this room, you are struggling in the area of sexual purity, and this has been heavy. Maybe it's hit you in the face. Maybe it's been hard for you to hear. But I want to tell you, if you continue to walk in that struggle, listen, you're not going to be living a sanctified life. So I would encourage you, find two or three people to pray with you, to encourage you. People that will not judge you, but will love you and will be there to lift up you in scripture and in truth. If you need help finding those, I'll help you. But maybe for some of you, it's not that you have any issues of purity now, but you do in your past. And when you read those words on the screen to that song, God is So Good, where it says, I'm haunted by the past no more, you almost chuckled because even though you know Jesus, you're still haunted by your past. If that's you and you are still haunted by the past, can I encourage you that if you ever have asked for God's grace and goodness, if you've repented, you need to know He does not hold on to that. And if God doesn't hold on to that, surely you and I should not. But I will tell you, that's not easy to get rid of. Oh, it's easy to hold on to condemnation. It feels good in our grip. So I would encourage you maybe to come and get on your knees, because if there's something from your past that you don't want to be haunted by anymore, come and just say, God, I'm laying this at your feet today. I'm giving it to you today. Help me at least today to walk where I'm free from this in my mind. Help me to only harbor a grudge if you do, God, and I know you don't harbor a grudge here. Help me walk in that freedom. Maybe for some of us, though, we need to make a commitment to get rid of something in our difficulty. Maybe your self-medication looks more like gambling. Maybe your self-medication looks more like gossip. Maybe your self-medication looks more like something that you do that takes so much time away from your family, you're never there for your family. I don't know what it is. I don't know your circumstance, but I know this. We all have one. So whatever it is, would you make a renewed commitment that you want to be set apart by God, for God, and take personal steps to walk in holiness? Ask Him to help you. For others, though, maybe you've just got a friend or a family member that's struggling in some major way, and you know it, and you want nothing more than for them to feel the redemptive love of God and the power of God at work in their lives. So maybe you just want to pray for them. Lift them to the Lord. Maybe it's a friend, a coworker. Pray for them. Maybe you've got a decision to make today. I'll be down front. We'd love to pray with you, whatever God directs. Father God, I pray that you would have your way among us as we have a time of invitation, as we invite people to respond in truth. I pray that people would respond not to just my words, but Father, that they would respond to your scripture, to what you're calling us to. May we pray for one another, encourage one another, admonish one another, lift up one another. May we take time to walk in holiness, to control our own bodies, to be pure in mind and heart and soul. Father, to live the way you've called us to. God, we'll need your help. It's all about you doing that work in us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.